Welcome to another episode of Confidently Insecure, the podcast where we are absolutely sure we don't know everything. And y'all, we are hitting you with a late night, almost didn't happen podcast recording, okay? It is 8:30 on a Sunday night. You know, the night before this episode is supposed to come out. I'm coming to you as a broken woman. Okay. If you're not watching this on youtube.com/KelseyDara, you can't see that I am wearing these. How do I describe this? Douchey, ridiculous 80s, but yet I think Rihanna brought them back and made them cool. Full face, reflective rainbow sunglasses inside at night because I'm taking off my glasses for those of you who can't see. I fucked my shit up. I fucked up my cornea. Oh my God, it looks bad from this angle. Okay, so if you're not watching this and you're only listening, sorry, you're just gonna have to like follow along with your ears. My right ear, beautiful. Eyelashes, done, clear. White, pure cornea. Is that my cornea? I don't know. Left side, wonky, sad, swollen, red, angry, eyelashless. So I think you know where I'm going with this. I'm putting my sunglasses back on because the light hurts my eyes. Oh my God, I don't know how I'm supposed to take myself seriously with these sunglasses on. They feel so much better when the light's not so bright. Yeah, I fucked my shit up doing my own eyelashes. I do them all the time, various different ways. Really good at putting on strip lashes. I used to do professional individuals, but honestly, it just is like kind of time consuming and a little high maintenance. So I took a break from them for a while. And then I got into like semi-permanent lashes, which is stuff you could do at home by yourself. And then I got cocky and I was mixing like semi-permanent with professional individuals. And last night, gave myself a full set on both eyes. It looked amazing, gorge, beautiful, ready for the Black Lives Matter, all Black Lives Matter parade. That is the mixture of like Pride and Black Lives Matter parade today. And I woke up early, 7:30, had a big morning ahead of me, okay? I had signs to make. My house was very close to where the protest was happening. So I had decorated the entire building. I wanted people to know that a lot of queer people lived here. Okay, I had to go get coffee. I was going to record an episode. I had some editing to do. And right at 7:30, I was like, this little corner lash is kind of falling off. I should like fix this before my day gets started. I go to put on a lash and my hand has a twitch. Like I wasn't awake all the way. Like my muscles were still waking up and fully proceed to stab myself, like puncture my own cornea with a fucking hook. I don't know how else to explain it. It's like the eyelash extension tool that has the hook on it so that you can like separate your lashes. It's very, very sharp. Like if you touch it with your bare hands, it will stick to like your dead skin. Like that's how sharp it is. It's kind of like one of those like pore remover cleaner pokey stick things. Anyway, went right through the eye. Immediately thought, well, I fucked up here. This hurts and everything's watering. It felt like I had punctured a hose because water just immediately started shooting out at a rate of 500 PSI and just soaking everything. I mean, my nose was running. My eye was like the goddamn Niagara Falls. I don't know what's up with Niagara Falls, if it's even really like running or a thing anymore. Is it a waterfall? I think it is. Anyways, lots of water. Tried to still like fight through it and keep going. I was like, okay, well, I'm clearly not going to get any makeup done, so I'm just going to put on my Pride outfit and like go about my business. And then I realized like I couldn't even fucking put my attention on doing anything else because of how bad it hurt. And I was like, oh, I fucked my shit up. But I had a lot of protesters coming by. I had to give out resources. Like I did not have time to, like this was the one day I was like, not today. We went and did a big Walmart run yesterday. We got $400 worth of resources. I mean, our car was stacked with Gatorades, popcorn, fucking lollipops, Smarties, pink Starburst, protein shakes, high C, Capri Sun, just to name some of the highlights. And I was like, not today. Holy shit. So what I did, I cut up a koozie, a rainbow koozie that I had, fucking tied some twine around it, and gave myself an eye patch. Fucking a gay pirate dream. And I went to the protest and I handed out a bunch of stuff, and I couldn't even really see people. I was like keeping my eye closed, and every like 5 minutes I would get this wave of pain that would just like again start making everything in my face leaking. Like, for example, when Leo, if you eat that plastic, I swear to God. Hey, Leo, stop. I gotta throw something at him. What can I throw? A balled up tissue. Get out of there, Leo. Hey, Leo. Leo, stop it. Okay, I just shook a glass bullet. That's my cat. Does anyone else's cat love plastic? Because anywhere there is plastic, my cat will find it and eat it and swallow it and then shit it out the next day. Totally forgot where I was. Anyway, we made it through the first like wave of the protest, and I was like, I cannot be out here anymore. I have to go to an eye doctor. So we made an emergency eye appointment, and she dropped some liquid in my eye, and she was like, yeah, girl, you fucked your shit up. You punctured your cornea, but it's going to heal on its own. You don't need surgery unless it gets infected. Then we have a problem. So use these antibiotic drops and just carry on about your day. I was like, yeah, but I'm in like immense pain and it hurts and my holes won't stop leaking. And homegirl was like, oh, that's because your brain thinks there's something in your eye. So it's going to just keep producing tears. And because you have sinus issues, your nose is just going to keep leaking too. And I was like, oh, cool, fuck. Like, you guys, when I say I was like just standing and then like a full tsunami would fall out of my nose, I'd be like, what the fuck? And so I didn't want people to think I had COVID because we got tested last week, came back negative, which shook the hell out of me because I was like, there's no way I didn't get it with how many days I go to physical therapy and how many protesters' hands I've been touching. Yeah, so I'm wearing these giant glasses. I might try and take them off. I don't know. I just can't take myself seriously, guys. Not only that, but of course, I can't just have one injury. I am slated for knee surgery this Friday. I am about to start my period. I accidentally razored the top of my entire thumb nail off with a razor blade trying to cut a box open. What else? My hormonal acne is acting up insanely, so I decided to go back on birth control. That's a whole nother conversation. Today was my first day taking it. Who knows what's gonna happen? So just to say, I think I need a deep breath with you guys, confidants. Can we take one together, please? I feel like I just need it. Oh, rub the temples a little bit. Okay, let's do a beautiful in-breath through your nose. And out. Wow. Thank you for allowing me to do that. Okay, I'm just going to also warn you guys right now. Leo, my cat, is really looking suspicious AF, and I don't like his attitude and behavior right now. And if things get wild, I apologize in advance. Okay. All of that rant aside, I did want to like take a second to also acknowledge that I am talking about sobriety this episode. And by the time you guys listen to this on Monday, June 15th, it will have officially been 365 days, a la 1 year celebratory birthday of me being sober. Take a chance to applause wherever you are right now, in your car, in your house, with your friends. Applause, proud of me, proud of you, proud of us. Never thought I'd make it here. That's what this episode's about, but I do want to acknowledge that obviously with everything that's going on in the world between COVID and the Black Lives Matter movements, it did feel weird to decide to do this episode. Like I mentioned last week, I did definitely want to get back to a place where it's like appropriate to even consider life outside of what's happening right outside my front door. And I think I feel okay because this is such a big personal thing that like, I'm very proud of myself. Like, I never thought I would do this, and I feel like it is not fair to acknowledge it and talk about it. So, yeah, I just wanted to, like, say that that's how I'm feeling. I'm not feeling great about recording this, but I also am like, if I don't, I would be so upset with myself, because this is such a milestone to look back on and, like, yeah, reflect on. And I also don't know really how you guys feel about it. Like, I don't know if you guys are, like, even getting your, like, black news here. I hope not. Golly. You know, maybe, again, like, giving your real estate and space and ears to those black creators who are the ones that honestly are doing the fucking work that is universal and so important. So make sure you're still, you know, watching, reading. Jared and I are really flying through some really great documentaries. It's kind of like fun now. It's something that we both get to, like, look forward to at night. Like, okay, what are we watching tonight? How can we talk about it? And then we find ourselves also, like, always referencing it back during the week too. Like, oh, remember da 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 da. Also to note that there is some Black Lives Matter merch with Teespring. I hate to say merch. Items available to buy where 100% of the proceeds go directly to Black Lives Matter movement. Not only that, but Teespring, the company who does make my merch, is also donating 100% of sales. So if you do want to support that, and also in return, you get a amazing shirt that is perfect to go protesting in. It says, do better, be better. I think it's a great shirt that's also just for, like, allies as well. Like, you know, you guys need to show your support. And it all goes to a good cause. And that is available in the link below. Okay, now that we've done the housekeeping and getting rid of some of my white conscious guilt about recording this episode, let's fucking talk about it. 1 year sober, baby. Wow. Holy shit. And I say the word sober meaning not drinking. And if you have been a confidant for a while, you might remember that I did an episode last year with Curly from former BuzzFeed days. Now he's a big star on Vida. And my co-host from Dating No Filter, Zach Nui Towers, who has been on this episode a million times since then. That was his first episode, actually, that he appeared on, where we talked about sobriety. And I had only been 30 days. And so it was really funny to kind of listen back to that and go through notes. And, like, I re-listened and wanted to reflect on that experience and see how things have changed. Talk to you guys about, you know, the things that I had to learn, the hard lessons I learned, the things that people don't tell you about getting sober, all that good juicy stuff. And, you know, I think it was unique today to look back on, you know, while the Black Lives Matter movement pride today was not necessarily a celebration or a parade. It was very LGBT themed and centric, and we were really highlighting Black trans women's safety and awareness. So it did feel pride-esque, like everything was rainbow today. And, you know, it was just funny to think back to 1 year ago pride, where I was in a full hip to ankle knee brace. I was on a lot of painkillers for my knee surgery. I was riding on the BuzzFeed float, and that year our float was in the very, very back. And it takes a very long time. Like, if pride's parade started at noon, we probably didn't actually get to move till 2, because that's how long it took and how many floats there were. So I was standing there just drinking, day drinking my ass off for hours, and then continued to drink. And then I had to go be on a podcast that night. I don't know if I've ever talked about this. Have I? I don't know. I feel like it's necessary. I had to go be on a podcast, and I knew I was way too fucked up. So I took a nap, and I was like, once I take a nap, I will take an Adderall when I wake up. This is at like 6 p.m. at night. There was no business anybody should be doing Adderall that late at night recreationally. whatsoever. But because I had a prescription, I was like, I'm not abusing it. I totally was. Woke up, took the Adderall, was definitely still drunk. When did the podcast? At that podcast, I drank an entire bottle of wine. Don't remember one moment of the podcast. I think I remember introducing myself and that's it. Not a clue. The episode was never published. I will say what podcast it is. I don't give a fuck. It was Chris Reinecker and Stilo's podcast, Wine and Weed. And I was the wine part of that podcast. So we never published it because it just made no sense. I don't think I spoke full sentences. Not sure I was even speaking English. And Chris said that CeeLo had also come back from a pride party that day. So both of us together, it was like a circus. So after that night, you know, coming home that night in a stage of pure blackout, and I never blacked out. I brown out, but very few times in my life have I fully like lights out, don't remember anything. And I remember like Jared really being concerned, and when you try and argue with a person that is blacked out drunk about their safety and you being concerned for them, I just fucking couldn't give a shit less about his feelings and his concern and was like, everything's fine, I'm fine. And then, you know, the next morning I was like, everything is not fine, I'm not fine, that was not cool. And you know, Jared didn't even react. I think that's probably what scared me, is like, he wasn't like, you have a problem, or like, I'm giving you an ultimatum, but he was just like, he just like had turned off almost. Like if something would have happened to you last night, I wouldn't have, you know, felt anything because I knew what state you were in. Like if something would have happened to you, that would have been your fault. And it was such a different way that someone had confronted me about my drinking, that I felt it too. You know, like it wasn't like I was quitting because my boyfriend didn't like that I drank. I didn't give a fuck what he thought about it. It was just like how scared I also felt, and like it was reflected in him, and it was showing from both sides. And I should have quit that day. And I usually do say like, oh, I quit drinking Pride of last year, because people know that time to be like crazy. But I took a couple days to think about it. And then we went to a wedding of his cousins that weekend. And I had a couple of red wines at the wedding just to like, you know, get over my fear of flying and social interaction and being around his family. And then that weekend that we were at that wedding, I decided to take like a mindful drinking journal, which was like after every drink, I would write down how I felt and like what I was thinking about the next drink. And then I would have a glass of water and then I would have another wine. And like, there was something about just that domino effect of like, okay, I've been bargaining it long enough. I am trying to like now science this down to like not being a problem. And my last drink that I had was June 15th of last year on our flight home back to Los Angeles. I had one glass of red wine on the plane to calm my nerves from flying. And I just knew that was it. I just knew that was it. And yeah, you guys have kind of heard me talk about the journey since then, but I just kind of wanted to revisit that time. The hardest by far of quitting drinking was those first 2 weeks. After that, it's been I've been incredibly lucky to be someone who's just had the easiest time after those first 2 weeks. Now, those first 2 weeks, I had a trip that had been planned for a very long time to go wine tasting in Mexico. Now, Kelsey, you might be saying to yourself, how the fuck did you go down to Mexico and go wine tasting after only being sober and having all that problems and da 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 da? Well, Jared and I talked about it, and Jared said, you know what, I'll do it with you. Not like as a fucking like sober buddy, like buddy system shit. Like he wanted to do it for himself, and we thought maybe he was just going to do like 30 days or like whatever, but he actually is about to celebrate a year sober too next week. He's behind me because he went to a wedding after the wedding we went together, and he was the best man. He got fucking blasted. And after he came back from that, he was like, that was the worst hangover ever. I really just want to take a break too. So before going wine tasting in Mexico, we talked about it and we said, like, we're not going to make a big deal out of it. We're just going to, like, see if anyone notices. And of course, like, our friends quickly noted. And at first it was funny because they thought I was pregnant. And I was like, are you fucking high out of your mind? Goddamn, I would be drinking that baby away. That was probably the hardest time I had because I didn't really know how to explain that why I wasn't drinking yet. And it didn't make any sense for me to be going wine tasting and saying I wasn't drinking. Like, it just, I didn't want to ruin the trip for everyone. And I realized, like, it was a much bigger deal for myself than it was for anyone else involved on the trip. But getting through that first trip was insane. Going down to Mexico, I probably had a conversation in my head with myself every fucking 15 minutes of, like, maybe I'll just drink and just start next week. Like, there's no start date. It doesn't matter. Like, I can just do this weekend and then we start Monday. And I would even, like, get so close as to, like, I would look at Jared and kind of be like, okay, I'm going to do it. And then he would kind of look back at me like, are you sure? And then having that support system of me to be like, oh, wait, maybe I shouldn't, was so crucial, because if I didn't have him, I probably would have drank that weekend. And then who knows if I ever would have stopped. And so, like, maybe that's my advice for getting through that really tough first week is, like, don't plan a wine tasting trip. And then also, like, have a support system, not necessarily a sober support system, but just someone that will, like, really reflect back to you what decisions you're making, you know, and not baby you or parent you, you know. He just gets me, and it didn't feel berating the same way that, like, if I tell him if I'm like, okay, I want to cut out sugar, don't let me eat sugar anymore, and then I go to grab a handful of cookies and he's like, Kelsey, you told me to tell you, like, you're trying to cut back on sugar because of your chronic yeast infections, I'll be like, Jared, shut up, stop policing my food. Like, it's so unfair to him, because when it came to that kind of stuff, I just, like, I can't let him hold me accountable. But when it came to that drinking stuff, that's how, like, deeply I knew it was time, that his just simple glance back at me as, like, made me feel like, yeah, fuck, you're right, this is bigger than me. So I basically knew that if I could get through that weekend, I could get through anything, because I had never been tested so hard. The other things that I had to learn how to do that I didn't realize was I had to learn how to be able to get on a plane sober, which had been not something I had done in 10 plus years. My fear, my panic surrounding plane rides was so fucking deep, and it actually is a huge part of my book. Like, the panic section has a lot to do with flying anxiety, because I was writing this while it was happening, of, like, I'm having to learn how to confront my feelings and rely truly, truly, truly on myself for the first time. And not long after I got sober, it was my first solo trip ever. That was a European tour for 2 weeks. And I was so close to breaking my sobriety on that flight to Europe. The panic that arose in my body when we took off, and I just thought, like, oh, fuck, here we go. Here's a huge trip, about to be, like, 10 hours on a plane in this confined, claustrophobic little space. My panic flew up into my chest, and the guy sitting next to me actually was in the restaurant business, and we had been talking about food and wine, and I told him I had gotten sober recently, and I, like, cut him off mid-sentence and just, like, got out of my seat and, like, took off my seatbelt and walked to the front of the plane. And I went and I walked around and I was taking a really deep breath, and I was talking to the flight attendant, and you know, he could tell that I was clearly, obviously, in distress. And I was like, I might need a glass of wine. And he was like, okay, just, I mean, we're not serving drinks obviously yet, because the plane is, like, still ascending. And I was like, okay, I don't need one. Just give me some water, but, like, maybe. And then I remember thinking to myself, like, you know, a great piece of advice that I got from Zach Noe Towers, who was on that sobriety episode, was that if you know, I had knee surgery and a doctor prescribed me pain pills. That's not breaking my sobriety. You know when you're breaking your sobriety because of the abusement of the thing. And so I thought to myself in that moment, here I am. I'm having a panic attack. I know what one looks like. And I have prescribed Klonopin for these moments. And I thought, well, you know, if I need to take the Klonopin now and for 20 minutes, I'll maybe still feel really uncomfortable. But if I have to do that so that I don't drink, I just need to get through this flight. And that's what I did. And I went back and I sat back down in my seat and the guy sitting next to me was like, what the fuck happened to you? And I was like, I'm so sorry. I almost broke my sobriety. And he was like, what? Oh my God. Am I triggering? Is this conversation triggering you? I'm so sorry. And I was like, oh no. I hate flying. And then I went through the whole thing with him and he thought it was really interesting. And then I took my Klonopin and it was very funny because then I got loopy and I just fell asleep and the flight was fine and I survived. And after getting through that, it was another fucking milestone of being like, look what I fucking can do. And even though it felt a little cheaty because I had taken my Klonopin, I then also did 3 or 4 flights intercontinentally in Europe that I didn't. And I, not only that, but like, man, I threw myself in the deep waters during that trip. I had to be social. I had to travel. I was jet lagged. I was literally didn't know where I was. I had to ask for directions. Had to meet strangers. I was fucking staying in a hostel for a couple nights. Like, I put myself so deeply in the uncomfortability zone that with every moment that I achieved something, I felt so strong. I felt so accomplished. I felt so proud. I felt so like it didn't matter. Like I could tell someone else, like I could, you know, FaceTime Jared and be like, oh my God, I flew. And he would be like, oh my God, that's insane. I love you. That's crazy. I'm so proud of you. And yet nothing felt as good as just feeling that inside of myself. Like even sharing that on Instagram or whatever, people being, you know, like that feeling of, really, truly being proud of myself. I don't think I'd ever felt like that before. Sorry, I keep sniffing because my holes are still leaking. So I had to learn how to fly again. I had to learn again how to be social at gatherings. Like, hello, the first thing we do at a networking event is grab a drink or use that liquid lubrication to let someone get to know your personality or make jokes. Like I had to relearn how to conversate with people, how to ask them about themselves, how to still make jokes. And like, I found that I was just as good without it. It took practice and it was scary, but like going up to the bar and ordering like water with lemon, like just having that physical cup in your hand still gave me the same confidence. And if anything, I learned that it was better to be doing all of these things sober because you never fucking know who you're talking to at these things. Like you never know who's a big deal, who's a fucking creep, like who's, you know, someone you shouldn't be drunk around or like who's, you know, like you want to be professional in these settings. And I really, looking back in last year, have seen how many more meaningful relationships professionally that I've had and mean them because it's not just like a drunken networking thing. Another thing I had to learn is how to deal with panic attacks. Like panic attacks were easily the hardest. That was the thing that always got me the closest to breaking it. And I think the thing that always saved me was like the same thing as having my Klonopin was like just knowing that I could at the end of the day, if I did break my sobriety to drink because of a really bad panic attack, it wasn't the end of the world. Like, yeah, maybe I would have backslided and hit a rock bottom, but like I wasn't being held or bound by any contract. And if I really, really, really needed it, it was there. And sometimes that was enough. Just knowing that that was an option. And frankly, y'all, fucking anytime I would drink myself into an oblivion after a panic attack, there would have to be a recovery period, like a refractory, like hangover, like shaking it off period. And I started to feel better, even though I would have these panic attacks that were lasting 10, 15 minutes at a time, or just these little blips of the waves of panic, not losing the rest of my day because I then drank myself into a brownout. again, like made that option feel less and less appealing knowing that it was in my back pocket. But again, like it, if I needed it, like even recently, right? Like even recently I had some agoraphobia when I was driving through these big mountainous hilled area out in Malibu. And even then I was like, if you get through to the other side of these mountains and you still feel panicky, you can pull over to a gas station and buy a beer. And I didn't need it. Like after I got through the hills, I was fine. And the other thing that I wrote down was that something I had to relearn how to do is date. As most confidants know, Jared and I are in an open relationship. We also share partners. And that got tough because remember, we are both sober now. And when you're on these dating apps, it's already, you know, taboo to be a couple on one of these. And then to also have it be sober, like what kind of freaks and weirdos, like to me, sober people were fucked up or messed up or weird, right? Like they had problems or like a trauma or history or past. And it's like everyone does. We so just also happen to be figuring out like how to not make it weird or a part of the dating purpose. And like, it didn't bother us when other people would drink, like, you know, more power to you. It really never did bother me to have someone be drinking alcohol around me. And that was one thing again, like, I think I was really lucky in that I didn't get triggered by seeing it or being around it. just because I think too, like I knew the feeling of what it was going to do and what it was going to taste like. And I was just kind of like, but boy, oh boy, dating, and I'm still not there yet. Like there is a big sober scene in LA and I think we're lucky for that. But again, like it just is so deeply ingrained and it's such like a mechanical part to go to drinks with someone. Or like I had said a million times in this podcast, I had never fucked anyone for the first time sober ever in my entire dating history. That's still the case, is it? I don't think. Oh my God, have I had sex with anyone since I've been sober? Have I had sex with anyone since from J? Oh my God, maybe. Hold on, have I not? Have I not had sex this year? Oh my God, wait. But besides with Jared, I might not have had sex with anyone. What? I got a review. I got to look through my like DMs. I got a review. I'm going to get back to you guys on this one because that is great. Really? I'll come back to you on this one. Oh my God. This is bothering me now. Holy shit. And to this day, I still have to tell people every single day that I am sober. Like that is something that I didn't realize I was going to have to do a lot is that, you know, I have this really popular video out on the internet that I did with Eugene and the Try Guys where we drank the most popular drink from every state in America. That's over 50 drinks. We got hammered. It's iconic. I love it. I think it's hysterical. And people are still like just discovering that video. And so when people meet me or when they decide to follow me, they are still thinking that that's my personality and my job. And like at first it used to bother me when someone would DM me or come up to me and be like, oh my God, that video is my favorite. Like, oh, I'd love to buy you a drink or like, oh, you, I want to drink with you one day. And I would be like, wow, do those people even care? Like they don't even know that I'm sober. Like, do they really care about me if they don't even know that I'm don't drink anymore? And then I realized like I never fucking talk about it. And nothing has changed about me. Like, well, a lot has changed about me health-wise, but as far as like my personality, I would argue that it's gotten better because I'm not so fucking annoying. You know, everyone can get to that point of being fucking obnoxious when they're drunk. And like, I don't have that anymore. I mean, maybe I still do in other ways, but I digress. My point is it at first bothered me that I would have to constantly say like, oh, I actually don't drink anymore. Like, ah, the old days. Or, you know, I found a way to like acknowledge it and move past that video or that personality that people know me from, because I realized it's not that big of my daily life. Like I'm not constantly posting about it. I'm not constantly talking about it. I'm not like retweeting and regramming fucking sobriety quotes. Like it just, I even like my close friends or like the people that live in my apartment complex are like, oh, I always forget you don't drink. And it's a compliment. Like at first I didn't take it as a compliment. And now I take it as a compliment because I'm like, I'm still fun, you know? Listen, I want you guys to feel and look your best. And that's why I want to tell you about Care Of, which is a wellness brand that makes it easy to maintain your health goals with customized vitamins, okay, that help you feel your best and support you long term. Okay, this isn't some little fad, honey. I keep my Care Of vitamins right on my work desk and I peel those baby open and I take them every single day. And the best part that I love about their packaging is that it's actually compostable, so I get to save them. And there are so many YouTube videos to look up on composting and gardening. And then Care Of actually teaches you how to compost them too. They also have a new line of skin and hair collection that helps you work on your beauty goals from all angles with a combination of targeted ingredients for hair, skin, and nails. Don't forget, there is quality in these vitamins, okay, that you can see and taste. They are individual eco-friendly packets, as I mentioned, and there's so much compostable info on Care Of's site. So all you have to do is go to Care Of and take the online quiz. You answer some questions about your health goals and lifestyle, and they're going to recommend a list of vitamins and supplements specifically for your health needs and goals, okay? And if you follow all of Care Of's expert recommendations or adjust your pack at any time, whatever you see, it's like totally up to you. You can change them. You can reach a goal and change it. You can chat with them about your new goals. It is fantastic. I take fish oil. I take some of that charcoal stuff because you know that is trendy AF. And for 50% off, if you're Care Of order, go to takecareof.com and enter code CONFIDENT50. That is 50% off your first Care Of order. Go to takecareof.com and enter code CONFIDENT50. The weather is getting warmer, so it is time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now that I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from 30 doll hairs, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
I can confirm this. I'm actually wearing Quince pants right now.
You are.
They are so, they're loose, they're breezy. These babies have a button, a fly, drawstring, and elastic in the band. So I can like, I can dress them up, I can dress them down.
Yes.
They're the perfect pant for summer, and I'm really comfortable as hell in them.
Honestly, I am wearing the Quince 14 karat gold earring loop right now.
Oh my God.
I know. I think it's so cute. It does not tarnish. It is so comfy, and I have sensitive ears, so I'm really loving this for my body. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Kelsey for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/Kelsey to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/Kelsey. Are you looking to cut back on alcohol this year? You are talking to two sober Sallys. You know Zach and I love to drink Recess Zero Proof craft mocktails because it's a guilt-free way to unwind. It has 0% alcohol, made with real fruit, only 25 calories or less, and it is sweetened with agave because y'all know I got that sugar addiction. It has incredible flavors. One of my favorites is the grapefruit Paloma. The Paloma is actually one of the last drinks I was drinking when I was drinking alcohol. So this is like a nice little nostalgia moment, and it still feels really fun in my hand. And there's no reason we should be missing out on the partying either. It's such a good replacement for alcohol, a great drink for having in between alcoholic drinks, unwinding at home, at dinner parties, chilling on the couch. It is endless. Get 15% off Recess mocktails now at takearecess.com/Kelsey so you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences.
Back to the show.
So last year, as I mentioned, I did an episode with the loves of my life, Curly and Zach, and I pulled some quotes from these things that we talked about last year that I just wanted to quickly revisit now that I've got time to reflect on some of the things we talked about. You know, I talked in that episode about how my first 2 weeks were really hard and I swished some red wine at the wineries and I spit, and, you know, that was really empowering for me because all those times I wanted to just swallow it, I didn't, and how I felt like, oh my gosh, like that was such a big deal for me. And they were like, yeah, that's amazing. I would never do that. And I was kind of like, lame, like, wah. And then a year later from that statement, I am like, there is no fucking way I would swish red wine around in my mouth and spit it out. There's just no way, because Zach in that episode brings up a good point. He's like, that's great for you. I'm nowhere in my sobriety where I would do that. Like, it forces me to ask, like, why am I putting that alcohol in my mouth? And I think in the beginning for me in those first 2 weeks, I did it because I needed to know that I could. I needed to know that I could switch it around and spit it out. Now, I don't need to have that alcohol near me. I don't need to have it in my mouth. Why is it getting that close? I am so confidently on the other side of it that I do not need to put myself in that position. So like hearing that again, I was kind of like, oh, you fool. Like you needed it then, but no fucking way. Like no wonder Zach and Curly were like, that's cute, but I would never do that. Like, you know, time and hindsight, yada, yada, yada. The quote that I pulled was that in that episode, I find out that you can get STDs inside of cum. And it was like just a side tangent. And when I heard it again this time, I was still surprised that STDs can be inside of the semen. Didn't know that. Zach also talked about bargaining a lot. Like when he got sober, he would always say, before he got sober, he would say like, okay, I'm bargaining with myself by saying like, okay, just like don't drink tonight, or like don't drink at that thing later, or, you know, just have one or two tonight. Like two is your max. And he says something in there that was really profound and stuck with me about that, like his thinking was the problem. And like even me saying that statement about like swishing the red wine, I was like, oh, my thinking was the problem back then. Like I just feel a year out now sober from drinking that like I'm so confident in the way that I feel and think about alcohol that like it just doesn't bother me in the slightest. Like my thinking is not problematic, you know. Even like a few months ago when we were like, oh my God, the 1 year is coming up. It's going to be here before we know it. Like, what are we going to do after a year? Are we going to start drinking again? And like, we were like, no, like that's not like, it wasn't like a time limit. And you know, maybe like there's going to be such a thing as moderation, like control or whatever. But like right now where I am, I'm the fucking best I've ever been mental health wise, body health wise, despite me wearing these glasses because of my ripped cornea and my surgery on Friday. I have never felt so good in my life. I tell people all the fucking time, it was the best thing I've ever done for myself. And I would recommend it to any fucking buddy that is questioning if they should quit drinking to just do a year. A year flew by, y'all. I was looking back at my calendar and I was like, oh my God, that feels like that just happened. And it was like 6 months ago. Another quote that I put in that episode was that I talked about how I browned out a lot, and blacking out wasn't really a thing for me, but I browned out a lot when I was drinking. And it made me think about how like how long and full my days are now. And like, of course, with the pandemic, all the days feel the same. And like, you know, you could look in at that statistic that says something about like the older you get, the quicker time goes by because there's less like meaningful things happening in your life, which sidebar is very sad. I guess that's why people are so obsessed with their grandchildren, because milestones are happening every day for them. But like my days are so full and long now. Like I get up at 7:30, sometimes 7, sometimes even earlier, which is something I never thought I would do. And I have the whole fucking day, and then I go to sleep at 10:30, sometimes 11, sometimes 12, and then I wake up the next day and I do it all over again, and that is never interrupted. Even if I'm sick a little bit, I still get up. Even if I'm injured, like I still go to PT. Like I've just never remembered this much of a year ever since I was a kid. Like, I've been drinking, I had drank for hard for years and years and years. And just having this time is like, oh, bless. Yeah. And another thing that I heard Curly say in that episode was that, you know, he realized that his drinking became an issue because he saw that his reputation was becoming a problem. And that kind of forced me to reflect back and think about how was my reputation right before I quit. And I don't mean reputation like necessarily like negative, that I was a problem or that, you know, like I didn't really have that. Like it was very, it wasn't like outwardly my friends were like, whoa, you have a problem. Like we think of you differently. You need to chill out. I had such an inward reputation revolution that I never got to the point, like I was a very good alcoholic, that I could mask all of it. Like no one close to me was confronting me about my drinking ever. It never looked like a problem. But my reputation in myself, like the way that I felt about myself was way worse than like the way the public perceived me. And like, sure, people thought I was a crazy bitch that drank a lot because of all the BuzzFeed videos, but they still think I'm a crazy bitch, so who cares? So that was fun to listen back to that episode. If this sobriety topic interests you, I highly suggest you go back. The topic was I'm quitting drinking for real, and it was shot, I think, in July of 2019 because, yeah, it was 30 days sober. So here are some things that I just wanted to go through in the last year that I have done sober that make me go like, holy shit. I went to Mexico wine tasting. I lost a brand deal because I stopped drinking wine. I did my first did my first Europe solo trip. I turned 29 in Barcelona. I did a live show for someone else's podcast on stage in front of hundreds of people. I had Halloween. I had Thanksgiving. I did an MRI, which I used to have to get fucking blacked out to go do. I went home and did a very stressful Christmas, but got through it without drinking. I did New Year's. I went to the Sundance Film Festival and was networking my fucking balls off sober. I had 2 root canals without having to drink. I did Valentine's Day without having to drink red wine. I wrote a book without drinking myself into a corner like a fucking tortured artist. Cinco de Mayo, even though that's a white person's holiday, that's pretty problematic. I did Easter. I did President's Day. And now I'm about to do 4th of July and my 30th birthday in August. Like, think about all those events and all of those things and all of those holidays that are like huge, wrapped around some sort of drinking culture that have become different. Like the vibe is different now for like Thanksgiving and anniversaries and birthdays. Like it's so fun to still go to birthday parties now and like fucking remember everything and like actually have conversations with people that I care about. Like I'm not just having like drunk fucking bathroom conversations with girls that I'm never going to talk to again or don't even give a fuck about. These holidays have so much more feeling behind them and so much more meaning and like fun. You know, like if it's Memorial Day, you know, we are planning the whole day around something to do instead of just drinking. Like, yeah, we might be at the pool and people might be drinking there, but like we've got like a dance competition, we've got games that we brought. I brought my Kindle, I'm reading 1,000 books, I'm grilling out the barbecue, I'm decorating. Like there are so many other things now that are fun about these events that I realized before were just purely about drinking for myself. Some things I learned how to do now that I quit drinking. I learned how to paint. I bought a sewing machine. Okay. I sewed 2 patio reupholstery cushions together. I built a garden. I fucking bought like 6 different power tools, bitch. 6 different. Learned how to be a better ally. I learned how to protest and get up early and go to fucking Walmart and buy hundreds of dollars worth of stuff to keep protesters hydrated. And if I was hungover and making these protests all about like day drinking, never would have happened. I learned how to get up early and make the most out of every fucking day. I learned how to have conversations with people that matter. Wow. I could talk about this forever, but I will wind down because it's late and I need to post this episode. Now, here are the things they don't tell you about getting sober. Sex is so different. Just like the whole approach yet. And like I mentioned, I'm not there yet confidence-wise 100%. Like, I don't know if we've had sex with people together since I've gotten sober, but we've definitely gone on dates and hooked up with people. And the hooking up is just different now. Like, you don't have that liquid courage confidence. You don't have that, like, social activity to do. Like, it just is so different. Like, you watch a movie and then you have to figure out a way to like get into your room, and like you have to figure out how to like eat at a restaurant without fucking like when it's over being like, okay, well, I'm gonna go because I'm either not interested or I am and would like you to come with me. Like, it's just so different. Like, thank God for this fucking pandemic a little bit, because I need some practice on Bumble, because like I said, I'm a bitch who thought she knew everything about sex, but sober sex and like sober dating is something that I am definitely having fun tackling. So if you guys have any advice, please drop them in the DMs. Another thing that they don't tell you about is you're going to have to explain why you're sober a lot, but I promise you, people are not going to care as much as you think that they will. It's natural curiosity, I think, for people our age in the millennial generation to wonder why you don't drink and you're so young. And I think a lot of people assume that there's like some trauma or some problems attached to it. Like, if someone a year ago told me that they don't drink, I would either think A, they were probably a heroin addict and had to get off of everything, or two, they never started drinking and they're fucking goody goody. And like, there was no middle for me. It was very black and white thinking. And now, like, when someone asks, I'm just like, I had a problem, so I stopped. But like, I'll still like try and experiment with mushrooms or Molly, which that's another conversation, by the way. But like, people just don't fucking care. They so don't care. Like, especially if you've just met them and it's a social setting and you tell them you don't drink, if you tell them you don't drink, the other thing that I wrote down is like, people are going to apologize a lot for some reason. Like, if they offer you one and you're like, oh, no, thanks. And then if they're like, here, and you're like, oh, I don't drink, then they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. How dare I do that? And like, that's the other thing is like, even my apartment complex, who this community is very small and close, and like we are around each other all the time with our dogs and da 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 da, that they'll go to hand me a drink and then they'll be like, oh shit, sorry, I forgot. Sorry, sorry, sorry. And I'm like, it's fine. Like, I'm okay. And like, maybe I'm different, but like, there's that difference between someone asking you why you're sober and like profusely apologizing every time that they accidentally include alcohol in the conversation. And like I said, a lot of people forget that I don't drink because I don't act any different. Like, I'm not a lame. Oh, that sounded bad. It makes it sound like, oh fuck, how do I erase that sentence? Because my personality drunk and my personality sober, I think, are very similar, minus all the annoying parts. There we go. That's better. My eyes starting to hurt, so I'm going to wrap this up. You can always drive. That's the other thing people don't tell you about getting sober. I couldn't tell you genuinely the last time I had to take an Uber. Jared and I share a car, so probably one day when he had it and I needed it. But I have saved so much fucking money on car insurance by switching to Geico. I'm just kidding. I have saved so much money because I drive everywhere. I can drive my drunk friends. I can drive to a party and drive home. I can go to more things because I can drive. Like, it's just fabulous being able to drive everywhere. Another thing that they don't tell you about getting sober is that, like, I'm kind of confident that our generation is going to be the last in America that gives a fuck if you drink or not growing up. Like, I'm just talking to so many young people about sobriety and encountering them who are like, oh, I don't drink at all, or like, I don't really drink that much. Like, everyone in their early 20s that I am friends with, which happens to actually be a lot, like, they don't really drink that much. Like, it's not part of their social scene. And like, even weddings are starting to do less and less open bars because they're finding that people would rather bring their weed pens and fucking get high and dance, which I think is hysterically fabulous. Another thing that they don't tell you about getting sober is that your depression will get better significantly. But that's not to say that you are going to become Superman. So let me break that down for you guys. like I said, my depression has been significantly better. If you go from drinking that much to not drinking at all, your brain will thank you. Period. And that being said, I thought because drunk and hungover equals not doing things, that sober would equal doing a lot of things. And I think that that's probably the thing that I'm still working on the most and trying to get the most confident about, is just because I have more time and I do have more full days now doesn't mean that I'm putting as much time as I should into things. And I'm trying to be fair with myself because of COVID, that no one is able to be their fullest selves right now. But knowing that that's also okay, that like, I think a lot of times I'm like, Kelsey, God, you're sober. Like, you should be able to finish this book edit, or like, you should be able to, like, I'm shitting myself a lot. But that, again, like, just because I'm sober does not equal more time, equal more productivity. It just, like, I still get tired. I still get hangry. I still get lazy. Like, that's, but the difference is like, I can fix that. Whereas like, being all of those things because I was hungover and drunk all the time was not something I was capable of. I was using it as an excuse a lot. Now I don't really have these excuses besides like, I'm tired because I was at fucking Walmart at 7:30 in the morning and then I was passing out drinks all day. And then I fucking scorched my scorched my cornea. And now I'm tired because it's 9:20 at night and I need to post this episode. I think that's also a good one to end on. Like, my depression's gotten better. And also that Jared's 1 year will be on the 25th. So I hope you guys can all go over to his Instagram, give him a little shout out. Congratulations. It's always a big deal for the first one for anyone getting sober, even if it was as easy as it was for us. My confidants, this has been such a fun journey to share with you guys. I love hearing your stories about sobriety and your relationships with alcohol and drugs. I can't wait to talk more about mushrooms and ecstasy. And don't forget to check out that Black Lives Matter t-shirt that they also have it in sweatshirts, stickers. I think all those proceeds 100% go to Black Lives Matter. Don't forget to also check out, we put up some pride merch. We put out a bunch of bisexual pride merch on Teespring. Don't forget to keep educating yourselves. The fight is not over with the Black Lives Matter movement. Don't forget to give this 5 stars and can you please go rate it on iTunes? That's the thing that I don't know why, who decided that, but that's the thing that people check to sell ads on your podcast. They're like, how many reviews do they have? How many 5-star? Blah, 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 blah. If it's not 5 stars, please don't leave one. If you don't like this podcast, please don't tell me. Just lie to me. I'm very sensitive. Thank you for this. Yay. I love you guys. I'll see you next week.